Well, hey everybody, welcome to Melanin Speaking.
Welcome.
It is your host,
co-host.
Natalia,
Renisha,
Jordan,
and Chelsea. Well, how's everybody's weekend going? Because we're doing this on a weekend.
It's been nice.
Yeah,
so far so good. It rained last night in Thunder, which is the best
sleep. Beautiful. I actually stood outside for a while and just was like in the rain. Oh, so
that's how you get sick.
No, I'm fine. The only thing that got a little messed up was the jeans and the hair, but we survived.
Fair. Well, these guests have really been the highlight of my week.
I like it. I like it. They really do. I think it kind of sets a good tone for things going forward.
Mm-hmm. I agree. I think season two is looking pretty good so far.
It is.
Rather than you don't have to just hear our voices, you hear like the community voices, because these are people from the community, and that's what Melanin Speaking is about. It's about getting voices from different melanated people and their just outlook on their everyday lives. Like, we've all expressed how we've seen Clarksville growing up, the many years that some of us, we've been here some 20 plus years, some maybe less than, maybe three, not sure. Can't remember, but like each one of us have like looked at Clarksville in a different way. So I'm super excited to get to know what our guest today has to say.
We are extremely excited to welcome our Mujer Chingona, which is AKA Badass Woman. Today, right. She is a U.S. Army veteran, or she won her recent
City Council election,
Ward 9. She's a local activist and leader, and I think one of the founding members of Clarksville Indivisible, correct?
Yes, that's
true. All so right. Everybody, get your protest signs ready, okay, for Karen Reynolds. Pew, 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 pew.
What a good intro. Pew, pew, pew. How are you doing?
I'm good, thank you. How are you guys doing this morning? I know Yara said you're doing good. I appreciate you coming out to my house today.
Which is a absolutely lovely house. Absolutely gorgeous house. I was admiring from around. I heard your husband's garden.
Oh,
I'm a fan. Yes. I'm a big time gardener, so I like
are you really?
Looked at it and I was like, oh, this is so lovely.
She had to stop and was like, oh my god, who's this?
I did. Right. I was like, I saw their garden, it's so nice. Absolutely love it. And I want to say thank you for joining us today. I think we were all super excited to talk to you.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
So I mean, any of us, I mean, let's just get it going.
Yeah. Absolutely. So you were, so in cultivating your activism, what was kind of the launching point?
Well, I was always active, like in high school. I mean, my nickname in high school was Susan for Susan B. Anthony.
Oh, nice. So, that's a great nickname.
I love it.
I'd take that nickname any day.
Right. So I was always active and always, you know, very much a women's rights was probably my pro-choice, you know, were really my basis through my life. But then in the military, you know, you have to, you don't fly signs when you're wearing a uniform.
Yeah.
And, you know, through the mom years. But I think I was getting a little more when my sons graduated and empty nesting. Mm-hmm. It's like, what am I going to do with the rest of my life? Mm-hmm. And then number 45 was elected. And it was like, oh, hell no. and honestly, I had been a member of the Democratic Party. I'd been going to the party for many years. You know, I was active in elections. But then when he was elected, it was game on. And the Women's March.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Okay.
The Power Together Tennessee Women's March was probably my launching.
Really? Awesome. Mm-hmm. Awesome.
And how do you think so far from that moment it's gone for you?
I can, you know, like the women, I've learned so much about myself and about community. And so after the Women's March, the first one in 2017, they had I was driving to Nashville to go to workshops. They didn't. So Power Together didn't sit down. They started doing community workshops.
Awesome.
And it's really where, you know, but it's like I really learned about being an ally. Mm-hmm. Like, I have a gay son. And so it's like when I was first said, well, you're a very strong ally, at first it was like, no, I'm a mom. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But then I learned about, you know, these are, you know, you learn like, You don't tell black people how to protest. Mm-hmm. You show up with a case of water and ask them where they want you to stand. They got this. Mm-hmm. You know, they appreciate you being there, but they got this. Don't tell them what to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Here's your sign. You know, and I learned so much. And then Indivisible came out with their PDF about how to basically stop the Trump agenda. I'm a healthcare voter. Mm-hmm. And so I was really concerned for the Affordable Care Act and healthcare. Mm-hmm. And it is really the citizens of the United States standing up and saying no, that made sure that we did not lose that totally.
Yeah. So for people that don't know, what is Clarksville Indivisible?
So Clarksville Indivisible is really was a group was actually created by two congressional staffers, and it was just a document on how to be a an activist at the congressional level. Mm-hmm. How to call, how to make calls that you make a difference. You know, it's okay to call. You don't always have to talk to the congressperson, visit their office, organize. And then Indivisible, just as Indivisible nationally stood up, Clarksville, we got together. I think there was a vote coming up. Mm-hmm. And I just, it's really kind of funny because my first Indivisible meeting was at a coffee shop and 45 mm-hmm. people showed up. Wow. It's like, it's like we're, so it's really teaching citizens that your voice matter. Mm-hmm. And your voices do matter, and how to write a letter, where to send it, mm-hmm. you know, make phone calls. And it really, initially they give you the wording, like at first I had to write it all out. And then I would take their script and I would maybe couple, and then I would read it. You know, a couple months in, I've got Marsha Blackburn's phone number on speed dial. Yeah. I'm on my way home calling her office every day. So nice. So that, you know, Indivisible is, and I think the best thing is it's not a party. And our group at Indivisible was, you know, we, what is it? Intersectional. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Intersectional with Black Lives Matter, Sierra Club Environmental, women's rights, human rights. You know, you don't have to agree with everything. Mm-hmm. When you agree with it, be active. If you don't, right. It's not a place, we're not going to argue. We're mm-hmm. not there to change anybody's minds. We're, mm-hmm. you know, in our group, we're progressive, and we give you tools. Mm. And be part of the tools or don't.
Yeah.
But we don't need to fight about it. We need to educate each other. Mm-hmm. If you disagree, it's about education, not about, hey, not about fighting. And that's something that we're really proud of.
Yeah, I think, because I'm also in the Montgomery County Democratic Party. And if you've been to a meeting, you know. And I wanted to get more political. So I was like, okay, let me get back into this party, see what I can get into. And then I would try to still come to the Indivisible ones now that I was back. And I remember the most recent one, I brought Renisha. And it's like a polar opposite of what the political party was doing at the time. And I feel like if for local activists or people that want to get involved, I always say, like, go to Clarksville Indivisible. Like, because I think you guys do such a good job at staying on topic and helping others. Like, oh, I really want, or I really feel strongly about this. What do I do? And you guys are just such a good group of people that literally you'll walk us step by step. Okay, what do you want to do? Do you want to do a protest? You want to write letters? Do you want to go talk to Marsha Blackburn? Do you like?
Right, and you were so energetic of like, oh, you need a board? Oh, I have that. Let's get creative and whatnot. And there was a moment where you like gave us information of like you said, of how to write to who we need to express our opinion. You were like, oh, here, this is the app, so easily. And again, I wasn't really active. I always tell people, I wasn't active or involved in my community until after the George incident. And so until then, I first protest I've ever been to was the Black Lives Matter protest on Wilma Rudolph. And that was like, honestly, the first time that I saw Clarksville come up and show out. Like, mm-hmm. I tell everybody, like, I wasn't really a Clutchville fan, you know? I was just like, I'm ready to get out of Clutchville. I'm ready to leave. Like, this, why are you coming to Clutchville? But then I came and I saw the diversity in that protest. Yes. And I was like, oh. It was a shocker to me, you know? And then from then on, I wanted to keep getting involved. And thanks to Natalia, I know, I've done literature drop, which was something new for me, like going to door to door and like just dropping some things off. Like, I didn't know that was a thing. And I will also say, like, people have done that. They've come to my home and like handed me some like pamphlet. And I've always been like, who are you? Why are you at my house? Like, stranger danger. But now I understand, like, they're trying to get their, they're trying to make a change, whether they're, I'm for them or not for them, I could have been more educational about that person. So I'm very grateful for Clarksville Indivisible and those around me who's gotten me involved. So I would definitely say, if you don't know anything or want to get to know more about something, go to Clarksville Indivisible.
So I want to do a shout out though. Joy Rice is actually the organizer now, and she is wonderful. I mean, she stepped up when I started to run for office, and has, and her, I like, her voice is so much more, I like to say, eloquent. When she writes or she does things, it has such a better flair. Like, I'm very straightforward, like, ABC, I'm going to outline it for you. And she's very eloquent and very good. And you said that, you know, the Democratic Party and Indivisible are polar opposites. I do want to just, because there that does strike a chord for some people in our community. Mm-hmm. We really have most of the same goals.
Oh yeah,
it is just how we approach it. Mm-hmm. You know, the party isn't going to say, "Hey, let's do a Black Lives Matter protest."
Right.
You know what I mean? Yeah. They're going to do different things. So, and it's important that we realize that not only in you know, the Democrats and Indivisible, but also, for instance, the NAACP. Mm-hmm. They have focused on legislation, and the Black Lives Matter focuses on, I mean, so we're all intersectional, and again, we don't have to agree with everything, but if we, I feel strongly that we as progressives need to not fight. We need to get more of a united front and stand with each other when we agree and not draw the lines if I'm not far enough to the left, or I'm not supporting you enough, or I didn't show up for your event, so I'm going to call you out at mine. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Kind of thing. So.
And I 100% agree with that, of progressives in general needing that kind of standing front. I talk to Natalia about this all the time, but I feel as if those on the other side, they're willing to put down a lot of things to get behind a person, even if they don't necessarily, you know, like the way they speak or like the way they look or, you know, things like that. That they
number
consider...
45 was president. Yeah,
exactly. I mean, like, that's just what it is. You know, they were willing to put down things, hold their nose and just vote. And I feel like whether you want to consider yourself a Democrat or a progressive or a leftist or whatever you want to say, they don't hold their nose and vote. They want the perfect candidate. Mm-hmm. And it's like,
there's no such thing.
You can't have that. You got to go. I mean, and I understand this rhetoric is kind of tiresome, but you got to go with the least of the two evils, because everybody's got a little dirt. Everybody isn't going to match your, you know, your mindset at every single policy position. And you just have to go with the best that you can get. And then once you got the best you can get, don't stop at that point. Mm-hmm. Continue to be active. You know, keep going back to say, hey, I put you in here, but we have to do some negotiating.
Hold them accountable.
Absolutely. Exactly. Absolutely. Yes. And I don't think progressives or Democrats do that very well. We tend to crumble when something isn't exactly our way.
I think it's kind of split, because I always go back to when Obama was in administration, right? And I always use, I guess, so people understand, like, big names, so we're going to go there. But I remember with his immigration policy, right, a lot of progressives, and still to this day, you know, that his immigration policy was awful. And, you know, 100%, yes. And so, and I think after that, 45 changed that a little bit, but initially after that we were all kind of like, what the hell, Obama, like,
yeah,
what is it that you're missing or what? And we're kind of seeing that play out a little bit now again. Mm-hmm. And I think progressives are always going to be the Democrats that are like, no, that's not right. Yeah. That's not right. Like, you can't. And I feel like it's like a weird playing game, because it's like either the progressives are always going to be, you know, known for being extreme and saying like, no, that's not right. You have to speak out against that. And then at the same time, we always get into it with moderate Democrats who are like, no, you don't have to say that out loud. Yeah. You ain't got to say that right now. I mean, this is behind closed doors.
Yeah.
And so, you know, yeah, I feel like it's such an interesting thing that we do as Democrats. I feel like we are a lot harder on our own party.
Yes,
and I agree. Our own people. But then we look at the other side and we're like, we can't stop being. So it's like a weird.
Hold each other accountable.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But we don't show up to vote.
Can we talk about that?
That's very true.
I'm sorry, I interrupted you.
No, by all means, I was going to ask actually if you felt the election of 45 kind of made it easier for progressives to kind of hold their nose and vote, because to be frank, like, Biden wasn't my guy. I wasn't ecstatic to vote him in per se, but he was the best I had, so I'm gonna go where the best is. And I think we had such a big voter turnout because people were willing to hold their nose and just be like, anything to get this guy out of here. I don't care if I have to swallow a shoe, I'll do it. So do you think that it's gotten a little bit better for progressives after him?
I think it has. We have to make sure we keep the momentum. I love Stacey Abrams. I mean, like, my hero. But we need to keep the momentum. We need to keep getting people out to vote. We need to keep asking why and saying yes, your vote does matter. You need to get out and vote. But we'll keep the – but I do say – President Obama wasn't my favorite, but he made it to the top. Why? Because people did not show up to vote in the primaries.
Exactly. I was so mad.
I mean, but that's not a party issue. Right. That is a voter issue.
Yes. Agreed.
The voters, I mean, we had a whole list of great candidates, but we didn't show up, so the white guy won.
Again.
So what do you think the issue is for voters for not wanting to go and put their vote in and say, this is the person I want? What do you think's holding them back?
Boy, that's a magic question, right?
I mean, I definitely feel that, because I have a little sister right now who, before Biden was elected president, I'd be like, go vote. Even in our inner city, go vote. And she's like, no, this doesn't have anything to do with me. Or he's not my favorite person. And I'm like, I get that. But still, you know, like you guys have been saying, one's worse and less worse than the other. And yet sometimes I feel stuck. And I was like, I don't know what to say to her to, like, get her to be like, all right, I'll go vote or whatever. So I guess that's really more for, like, the younger crowd, because she is, if we're going to do the term and all that, I think she's a Gen Z. She was born in 2000, so Gen Z. And so I'm like, in that generation there, it's like, how do I connect with them? Because I felt like even the celebrities, even though they were being more active than I guess they usually were, it's still, the Gen Zers still didn't take into account, like, well, this is going to affect me in the long run.
Yes.
I mean, I have spent a lot of time with registering as, so it's Clarksville Indivisible. That was really my hobby. Was we had a booth at the market.
Yeah, I saw that on your Facebook.
You know, we did different things. But how do we? I mean, that is a community conversation. Mm-hmm. Nobody, no one person has that. And what's it going to take to get someone to go to the polls? Like, do you want number 45 or do you want a number 46? Really, that was your choice, right? And if you agree with what's going on now, then. Either, because staying home in this election was a yes vote. Yeah, if you stayed home, that was a yes vote in this. You know, we need people to show up and say, I don't like this, and vote it out. So I think we have to continue the conversations, education. You know, when I was in school, we had, we registered to vote in school.
I was going
to
say, we registered, but they just gave me a piece of paper. It was like, here, register to vote. You're 18.
But we had a whole class about it.
We
had civics, and I don't think there's civics anymore in high school. and mm-hmm. and we talked about it. And you know, like I'm gonna actually, now that I want to go into the schools and talk to kids, like, hey, please this do. You know, but you know, it's so partisan, you have to respect that that's mm-hmm. an issue for schools. And I ran in a nonpartisan race, so it might be a little easier, but just to show that your voice matters, people care, and we just have to keep up the conversations. Like, you keep working on, I wrote letters to my friends that I knew that, I have friends that I knew that didn't agree with me politically, mm-hmm. and all over the state, and I'm a Christmas card girl, but so I sent out cards, and I, just a card, and I said, please remember my son Daniel when you go to the polls. Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. I said them, you know, because they all watch me raise Daniel, so we may not agree, but I was asking them to vote for his rights. Mm-hmm. So that's your sister, you know, like, what, when you talk to individuals, mm-hmm. hear their story, what's important to them, mm-hmm. and then tie it to a vote.
Because I feel like, you know how they like will send a person from each branch to the school and try to get the young high schoolers to go to the Army, go to the Marines, go
feed the war machine.
Yeah. Oh no.
But like you said, I feel like at least have a person from each, a Democrat, a liberal, whatever. Mm-hmm. Give the education that you know best to the students.
Or at least talk about what our job is. Yeah. How important our job. So I would want to go to schools and just say why local elections matter.
Yeah, and like, then you give that student an opportunity to be like, oh, okay, A, I want to know more. Or B, I also want to do what that person's doing. And it's like, oh, that's how I get involved. I think that should be in schools.
Or, yes. Oh, that's how important this is.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah.
But real people coming in, not just reading it in a book, not, you know.
Yeah. For sure. I don't want to hear what happened to Sally in the woods, you know? I want to know, what are you going to do for me when I get out of high school and I'm done with college after all these student loan debts? Is, you know what I'm saying? Like, I want to know what's going to happen for me in the future and why I should be part of this community.
Mm-hmm. And I think, even when I was working with the census and people didn't understand why they had to do the census, right?
Yeah.
And so you had to explain to them, and they didn't get it until you start like pinpointing, like, oh, okay, well, police departments, how much do you want funding for that? Or like all these other like programs that go into stuff for this, or, you know, schools and stuff. And once you start pinpointing it and relating it to their everyday life, that's when people care. And I feel like, it's so funny to me because when you look at how Montgomery County voted this past election, you know, everybody went out for the president. And then underneath that, maybe the senators. And then underneath that, it was like, people just didn't even vote for any of them. Mm-hmm. Like, it was really, like, unless they recognized the name, they wouldn't even submit anything for those. They would just skip over them. And when I saw that, I was just like, we need to do a better job at telling people, like, how our government works, I guess.
For sure.
But also, like, how do you get past that government hate? Because I think initially everybody has that first, like, well, I don't trust the government. What's the government going to do for me? Mm-hmm. And then I feel like that's
We sure take your money.
Right. Yeah. Right.
So, you'll care
raise
about
taxes
that.
On that.
I mean, honestly. And I feel like it's come to the point to, it's like, yeah, younger people are kind of like half and half. They don't like the choices they're getting, but they're starting to be more aware that if they do show up, you know, those choices change. Mm-hmm. But I feel like I see that more on the national level. Like, how do you get that to more local?
Well, I'm going to be a little tough, and I'm going to say some of it is a personal responsibility. How do we get people to take responsibility? Mm-hmm. Like, we can only push so much, and if you choose not to pull, I mean, it's just like you're flipping through your Facebook page. Mm-hmm. You choose what you want to look at.
Yeah. Right.
The information is out there. If you have to go look for it, you know, 50,000 signs are out there. And I'm not gonna, and I want to be clear, like, there's been plenty of times I've showed up to vote and it's like, oh my God, I don't even know who these people are for school board. And it is so important for a school board. Like, what books, you know, are we going to get one big school? Are we going to keep our small classroom sizes? Yeah. I mean, that is so important. But it's so, I say this from a position of been there, done that. And I just want to make that clear that I'm not throwing stones, and I have not always been the, you know, most proactive I mean, I traveled and, so, but how do we get our residents, our citizens, to do their homework, to pull it up. Mm-hmm. You know, there's an app, govotetn.org, govotetn.com, either one, and you can go onto this on your computer or your phone, and you can see your ballot right before election time. You put in your address, and it will show the resident their ballot. Exactly. And then they can do their own research. Mm-hmm. So there's more and more tools, but we have to educate about the tools, and we just, I mean, I knocked a lot of doors, but I didn't knock doors that people weren't registered at. Mm. Not when I was running.
Mm. How did knocking on doors go? Did we love it? Did we,
was like,
do we go to people that knew wasn't on your party?
Yes, I knocked all doors, but I was running in a independent race.
Okay.
A local, so I was independent. People wanted to know, like, mm-hmm. what party are you? I can't tell you.
But listen to me speak.
But honestly, I couldn't because I worked for the government. So I was only allowed to run in a nonpartisan race because I was, at the time, I worked civil service at Fort Campbell. Mm. And so I really couldn't pick a party. But I thought I would hate it, but I liked it. So I talked to people, and they some of them would really push and want to know. I probably didn't tell very many, mm-hmm. But I would tell them some of my policies. But I say it doesn't matter. I'm running to get you a sidewalk. I'm running on zoning issues. My party doesn't matter, you know. Mm-hmm. And so it was. But I appreciate more when like Planned Parenthood or Indivisible talked about what was it? Values canvassing. Mm-hmm. So Indivisible had an app mm-hmm. where you could, they filtered out all the addresses that were not registered to vote, like Out Your Door in 40 is what it was called. Mm-hmm. And I did it in my own neighborhood. I could go out the door and knock, and it filtered out all the registered voters, so I was only knocking on non-registered voters.
That's awesome.
Wow. And that was during my not during my campaign, but before. And so then I would knock on the door and try to talk to people. Mm-hmm. And it was my neighborhood. People saw me. They knew me because I walked my neighborhood all the time. Mm-hmm. So it's those kind of things. Hey, I see that you're not registered. I can help you. You know, let's talk about this.
And did that help? Did you get people?
Some, yeah.
Some? Okay. Some.
I register people at yard sales. I've registered people in the grocery store.
That's
like,
awesome.
You know, just people
just shop in and be like, hey, are you...
Yeah, somehow you're standing in line and we're talking. It's like I picked that phone out.
Oh, my goodness. That's amazing.
So let's go ahead and register you to vote.
Yeah, let me show you this app. You can register online.
Well, that's good because the more voices that get involved with things, especially like politics, and more importantly, I think we've got it confused. I think local politics are probably the most valuable because mm-hmm. that's what you interact with daily. Mm-hmm. Like, that's where you send your kids to school. That's where you go play on your golf courses mm-hmm. or on your playset, like whatever, your streets, all of that is local. And we put a lot of emphasis on everything federal, like mm-hmm. who's going to be the president, who's going to, and it's like, okay, are you ever going to get to talk to the president? Like in reality, mm-hmm. are you going to run into the president at your local coffee shop and be like, hey, so, you know, my kids need better schools. They just cut the music program, whatever it may be. Mm-hmm. That's who you need to be interacting with. Mm-hmm. That's who controls a good chunk of your future. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying that federal isn't important. Of course it is. But it's not in the way as intricate in your life as when you're living in a community mm-hmm. and voting for those people.
I think you really hit on a good point because I think if BLM really focused on local legislation and really hit hard at home here, we would get a lot more done. A lot more done.
I think any of you, we need young women to run for office.
She's definitely looking the way of Chelsea.
Uh-huh.
Chelsea.
The one that's going to stay here? Chelsea. The one that's going to run
against Wallace? Well, I am staying here. I am staying.
Right against
please. And you have a mentor.
Yeah, we are standing up a group. Mm-hmm. So it's
Natalia's
very important.
Natalia's been very adamant about me.
or and I understand capacity. I understand where you're at in your life. I get that, you know, time, capacity. You know, I was you're going to be the best mom you could be at a time. You know, I understand all that. But we really need local people to stand up. The Republicans 20 years ago, or the conservatives, let's call it what it is, conservatives, mm-hmm. 20, 25 years ago, it was red to the roots. Mm-hmm. So they came in from the bottom, and that is how 20 years later they turned all these states red. Mm-hmm.
So I've actually been studying that just as a hobby of mine because I'm
thinking about running.
I just think that there are some blind spots in the progressive with going big mm-hmm. every time.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And to me it was like Stacey Abrams, she gave the blueprint. Mm-hmm. It was like, yes. Go local. Yes. Go to your roots. Go to the ground game. Like, that's where the money is. Mm-hmm. Go to your, not actual money, but,
I know what
you mean. Know, that's
where the power.
That's where your power is. That's where you can galvanize
people. Blue to the bone.
There yes. you go. Blue to the bone, you know? And if you keep rallying in small area, that mm-hmm. is how you get to the Mitch McConnells who have been there for 20, 30 years wreaking havoc. Mm-hmm. But he's local. Mm-hmm. That's he comes back to his base. And I've talked to a lot of Kentuckians. It's really interesting how much they genuinely don't like the man, mm-hmm. but they vote for him every time. And it's that loyalty that he's kind of cultivated there in a lot of ways. And we don't have those.
Right, because we need to start in the local. And like when you run, for instance, city council, and I'm working very hard, like I ran on let's get more sidewalks, let's do green space, mm-hmm. you know, environmental. And these are not partisan issues. Mm-hmm. Like you know, when you start local, you don't have to, you know, I didn't wear my Planned Parenthood T-shirt while I was on politics. <you know? laughs> And I did clean up my Facebook page.
There's a lot of social media scrubs that.
So we'd have to do that. But when you're at the door, you know, you're talking about what's, because really, especially at the local level, people want, you know, roads, they want sidewalks, they want green space, they want a community. Mm-hmm. And so they want to vote for someone who's going to help build a community and be respectful of the environment at a balance. Mm-hmm. And we're I actually am hoping to help younger women in particular run for office.
Going to mm-hmm. the meeting, mm-hmm. calm down.
Just, you know, giving them luck every time.
And you know, I think that's important. Mm-hmm. You know, give back. I worked on campaigns before I ran, so I had an idea of what I'd been thinking about it for a couple of years and done a lot of homework. So mm-hmm. I knew things. I wasn't like the, oh, I'm going to sign this and run. I was a little further ahead than most people who run for a local office were. Mm-hmm. And that helped me. Okay. Knocked doors.
So what are some unique challenges to being a woman in politics? What would you say to someone you would try to mentor? What are some challenges?
Oh, they're the same as at a job, you know. But it's this womanhood in general. Like, who's going to watch the kids when you go to the meeting? You know, who's going to, you know, like, what do you wear? And mm-hmm. and being taken seriously because you're the woman or the woman of color. You know, there's even on our city council with, you know, you can see, for instance, sometimes they treat the women differently. You mm-hmm. can see it. Mm-hmm. It's everywhere. Mm-hmm. It's no different. And you just have to keep showing up. And now we have a seat at the table, and I'm calling it out when you see it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But I'm fortunately at a place in my life where, you know, honestly, if this is it for me, I was elected. I'm going to do the best I can, and then whatever it takes from there.
Mm-hmm. I think you've done some good work. What have been some things that you've gotten past?
Okay, so I want to be frank. I've been there 5 months.
Okay.
And I'm one that goes in, and I have to learn the process. Mm-hmm. I'm not one to go in and make a lot of changes. Mm-hmm. So I wouldn't say that, I can't say that this is my legislation, I'm going to work on it. But what we are working on is including legalizing marijuana in our legislative agenda, up to the state, and send a message that we as City of Clarksville want to legalize mm-hmm. and decriminalize marijuana. Mm-hmm. I'm actually been working to learn the process we need sidewalks, and I want to rewrite the ordinance for sidewalks. That's my that's like this month. So I was working, and my goal was just get in, figure out how to play the game, figure out where you need to go, make some connections. And now that I'm, I actually retired. Woohoo!
Hey.
Yay! Retired from my civil service. Yes, second retirement.
Yeah.
And so I have more capacity. So I'm gonna like historical setbacks, kind of look at the sidewalk issues, and really start working on that now.
That's so exciting. We had previously talked to Ashley. And
oh, she's wonderful.
And so one of the things she mentioned to us, and I had thought about it, and I'm just confused, I guess, on what the big fight about it is, but about going metro for Clarksville. Because I mean, it's they put it on vote before, right? And every time,
yeah, they put it on twice, and it's about money and power. So the we all pay county tax. If you live in the city, you pay county taxes and city taxes. Even though I'm swagging it, over 70%, I think it might be higher, of the taxes in the county are actually people paying from the city. So, and if you go out in the county, where's the line anymore? Honestly, that it used to be, okay, we're out in the county now. We're expanding into the county. So, again, it was the last time they came the closest, but you know, who was going to be in charge of the police force, the first responders? They didn't like the way that was rewritten. That got a lot of pushback. And then the county people just did not, you know, they say, I don't want to pay city taxes. And there was enough votes. So that means enough. The city people didn't get out and vote. I voted for it then. And now that I'm sitting in the seat and I've been through a budget process, that was very difficult.
I remember.
That was difficult and interesting for me. But that, I mean, we're double paying so much of our taxpayer dollars. Like two mayors, you know, 21 county commissioners and 12 city council people. And all the parks and recs and duplication. It is a lot of duplication that, I mean, we wouldn't like say 50%, you know, you're not going to do 50%, but there would be tax savings.
And so is going forward to get, I guess, the citizens more involved in that conversation, what would be a good, I hate to say frame it, but what would be a good way to kind of focus on? Like, because people always say, well, I don't want to be a part of a city, especially when you come with county people, you know, everything city they're against. They're like, no, I'm out here, leave me out here, whatever, cool. So what would be kind of some of the perks of going metro?
So our green spaces and our building, you know, like, and our schools. We, for instance, in the city, we keep piling houses and the schools have like given up trying to say we don't have capacity. They've just given that up. So really a better management of our growth and our school system, then they would work better together and not be like opposites, like figure it out, I'm going to vote for this, you figure it out, I'm going to vote for this, figure it out. I think that is to me one of the biggest perks.
Okay, I see that going up in our future, just saying. Chelsea?
No, I mean, that's very interesting. I've honestly never thought about that concept of how being metro changes that. I don't have any children, but I do have a nephew who goes to, you know, a Clarksville school. And originally I was, you know, helping. He's also my godson. So his parents like to include me in a lot of his school things just to, you know, we kind of raise him as a whole little community. And so I've been to, you know, his first days of school and introduction to teachers and help sign him up for classes. And there are just these influx of kids. And it, you know, even his teacher, not in 2019, the year before, she was saying how, you know, they're expanding another kindergarten class because you know, they're getting above that limit or they're really close to that limit. And mm-hmm. he had a veteran teacher who had been here for a few years. And we talked about that briefly of how, like, you know, maybe a decade ago, that wasn't necessarily the case. But people are moving here in droves now. Mm-hmm. And there's just so many kids and schools can't keep up. Because aren't we building another school?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're building another school system. But, I mean, first I want to do a shout out to our teachers and our educators.
Oh my God, they're amazing.
This has been the year and what they've done in this year.
You don't get paid enough.
You're not appreciated. I mean, but I appreciate them and I admire them.
Yeah.
And I think that they do a great job. I'm always been one for smaller class sizes and smaller schools. I don't want to go to a great big county school when my kids are. I picked Clarksville because I didn't want one big school.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't like seeing that they just grow the schools. Mm-hmm. I would love to have elementaries within walking distance of communities.
Yes.
Like building around a school rather than making these where kids got to get on the bus to go to these bigger schools.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Obviously that costs more money.
Mm-hmm.
But the outcome has been shown that kids in elementaries do better in smaller schools in a community. And it's also better for the environment. Mm-hmm. If I don't have to put my kid on a bus every day and sit in a bus for an hour on air conditioned bus, then you know it's a win-win. But again, that's where consolidating or at least paying attention to the zoning, like we're adding more houses, what is the plan for schools? And I actually have been I'm going to go to the educational leadership, but I want to learn more because right now I'm kind of voting and I don't have all. I've actually made a connection now that I'm actually going to have a sit down and ask about, you know, what is the plan? What is the big picture? So as we're looking at these zonings, I can balance.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I know a person right now, they live in Dover, and Woodlawn is closer to their home.
Mm-hmm.
And she also currently has an IEP child, but he has to travel way past Woodlawn. Because of the school capacity, but also because that school doesn't have an IEP program. So I think as we continue to grow schools, I think we also need to grow on the IEP program because a lot of kids in that program just get swept under the carpet and they're just like the last to be taken care of, which is one of many problems with the school system, I would say. Definitely because used to be a special education assistant and just seeing the inside of it, I was like, why are we treating these kids like there should be an regular gen ed class when we know they struggle more? They're like, they still get the same testings as gen ed kids, which is like, well, they're on an IEP program. Why is that? It's just so many questions and just like, I wish we can do better for them.
Yeah. And I agree, and that's a school board. So I definitely
need to go. Yeah. I honestly didn't know that we could. Again, that's
like, yeah, we're all learning. The fact that you're willing to learn and be active is important because, you know, like for me, I want to hear your voice. Like I have a newsletter and I want people to tell me what they think. We may not always agree, but I'm always going to consider voices when you're voting. But if you don't give up your voice, then it's just me, myself, and I, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I know that they just had a little protest outside of the school board meeting. The parents did, at least, because they're the concern of, like, the mass. I know.
Yeah.
I know. So I'm definitely...
But that, from my understanding, IEP is always a problem. It's funding. You know, when I was younger, when I was going to school, people that I call my second mom, I call her Mom Wes, she taught special ed in Michigan for, that was what, she was an aide. And I can remember one summer, she worked a summer, and she came home so excited because she'd gotten a special needs child to be able to feed themselves. But, you know, if you don't have enough hands on classroom deck, to do that on deck, then you're not going to be able to work with that.
And not even just hands on deck. It's also educating the assistants themselves. So for a role, I'm now in a registered behavior technician or applied behavior analyst, however you want to call it. But I work with kids on the spectrum or just in the behavior world. And I wish I would have had this same training, and the training wasn't long, you know, but it was still insightful when I was a special education assistant. I mean, being a special education assistant led me to what I'm doing right now, but I wish that we had the school would fund things like that, not for the aides, but also for teachers as well. Because I get it, teachers do have a lot on their plate. They have like 18 to 20 plus students in their classrooms, but sometimes I wish that they don't ignore the kid. I guess that's what it seems. I mean, it may sound bad, but what I see when I'm sitting in class or when I'm the one-on-one for a child, I just feel like the child is just acting out because he or she is just like, I don't want to be here. Don't know what's going on around me. And I just want to be home in a sensory place. And I'm like, I get that.
They're not stimulated in the correct way.
So I just wish we can fund. I know you teachers are not even getting paid what they should now, which I get. But let's talk about putting that into the table. Like, let's train on that level.
Mm-hmm. And training and funding all comes from the school board. And, and you know, taxes, how do we spend our money? Again, back to the elected people. And we take your money. You get to say how we spend it. And the way that you is to continue to be part of the conversation.
So definitely getting more involved in the school board.
Getting more involved, I guess, period, is kind of the conversation to have.
Well, I mean, the big picture of it, you know, we talk about that, but in today's world, when, I mean, I remember, you know, during my grandfather's time, there was enough money. My grandfather worked, my grandmother stayed home. He came home, dinner was ready. He had time, but they made enough money. They had a small house, they had a small cottage, you know, they had a car, they had a camper. I mean, they had enough with one person working, you know, and it wasn't, I mean, they were just regular people with regular, you know, and when I say a small house, I think it was a small three-bedroom home in Michigan. But he worked for the car factories, and they had health care. It didn't take two people working. It didn't take, you know, two people with an income to pay for diapers and child care and all that. So our society, they say, oh, people come home and pick up their you know, Game Boy or whatever. But really, there's a lot less time and a lot more pressure than, you know, there's not as much time to volunteer and to stay engaged. But it is easier. I mean, it is easier to get online and watch or get online and read. So it is sometimes a choice. But I do want to acknowledge that there's two sides to that conversation.
There is.
Yeah, I agree. Because time, especially depending upon what field you're in, what jobs you have, time is as good as money. Like, once you, and so you kind of dole out your time very strategically because you don't have enough time. You know, I work, everyone here works, and it's like even on your days off, it's okay, I need to do this. I have to do laundry. I need to clean the house. I have to,
exactly.
And I feel honestly for families because, you know, I'm not married, I don't have children, but to add children onto what is normally my list of things to do for myself to sustain me, now I'm adding a little person. Well, what if this little person has soccer practice, but this one has trumpet practice? And so when you add that into the mix, I understand why it's easier for people to check out.
Because that's what I was trying to acknowledge.
I have so much, as my mother would say, she loves this reference, you can't see the forest for the trees. The trees are so big. How can I ever see that the foundation in the street is cracking? I don't care. I don't care realistically, you know, I'll care when it's a gaping hole and my car can fit through it, but it's the small things in the foundation we don't check.
And I think it's so interesting that you say that, because like when you think about it, it's like, I don't want this to sound like a conspiracy theory. It's going to sound weird. But it, to me, it sounds like, you know, as we progressed, citizens stopped paying attention. Citizens got more busy. And then the problem never got fixed. And we're still here. And we're still seeing it. And it's getting worse and worse. And it's like, I guess we have to figure out that balancing act. Yes, we have so much to do and handle in our personal lives. But there's so much that we have to get involved to change that so we don't have that anymore. And a lot of that does come from our government. Like, I mean, essentially, that's what in a perfect world, our government would help us with, right? And I always get stuck in that, like that in between. It's like, yes,
should I focus on me? I got to do all this stuff. I got, you know, I have families to take care of. I just don't have time. And then it's like, then what happens? You're never going to have time because nobody else is prioritizing it anymore.
But
and
to
then
a certain extent,
the people, the people at the top are just going to keep doing as they please.
Sacrificing the one for the greater good. Mm-hmm. And sometimes that's a difficult choice to make.
That's what I'm saying. Like, you're literally, it's you're caught in the middle. For sure. Yeah.
So exactly, you know, I recently, and this is just a general reference, not a exact, but overall, since from 1978 to 2019, CEOs of companies increased pay was 940%. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. The average American worker that is not a CEO was 12% mm-hmm. increase. Mm-hmm. So back to what you're saying, there's less time, less money to buy time.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Money buys time.
Money
right?
buys time, yes.
Money buys time. And so that whole, so back to the whole circle, I mean, it's true. I mean, it's not just I feel. It is by design.
Truth. Yeah. Yeah.
It is the truth.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, thank you so much. I hope, like, whoever listens to this, you get that little bit of motivation and you start talking to, like, your car and be like, mm-hmm. you know what? Yeah, I do need a da-da-da-da-da-da.
Yes, please.
Absolutely. Because it's important stuff that we have to work on.
Mm-hmm. It is. And it's not exciting, usually. I mean, no,
this
to be
isn't
honest.
Nearly as fun as your podcast about student debt. I love that. I'm just saying.
Oh,
I love
no.
that finance one.
That was something near and dear to our hearts, mm-hmm. especially being in the
felt
age
that
group.
Yeah, we did. That was as we're still adding on to it.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh my god. At this point,
I love that conversation.
Well, we appreciate it.
Well, where can people find Clarksville Individual?
Clarksville Individual. I mean, we are on the website. We have email. No, we don't have a website, I don't think. But we are on Facebook.
Yeah.
But we also have email, clarksvilleindivisible@gmail.com. And mm-hmm. if you reach out, that Joy Rice would catch that if you want to get active and interested in what we're doing.
Okay.
Our last event was over the 4th of July. Joy put it together, and it was it was HR1, support HR1, protect the vote.
Mm-hmm.
And so we had a protest out at the market.
And if people want to get in contact with you, whether that's within your ward or just want to ask you more questions or you be their mentor, where can I get them?
So if it's personal, like mentor, just kind of reach out. I like KarenReynoldsVote at gmail.com.
Okay. Sweet.
I'm so
excited. It was
it.
So
thank
nice
you.
Speaking with you.
Absolutely.
Really you guys are wonderful.
Oh, thank you.
I'm kind of sad we didn't have some swear words here.
Don't get her started.
Constantly get yelled at by
Listen,
this one.
I think we've curbed our vocabulary.
Just a little bit. Just a little bit.
I'd rather you say hanky panky, all right?
Like, well, don't clean it up too much because that makes it fun.
I'm sorry. Thank you.
I've fallen in love with the F word.
Oh, no.
Yes.
We do drop it quite a bit.
We as in this one over here.
Somebody.
Someone in the group.
Okay. Well, you can find Melanin Speaking at Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. And if you have any comments, you want to get to know more about Miss Karen Reynolds or just Karen Reynolds.
Karen.
Email us at melaninspeaking4@gmail.com. Bye.
Bye, guys.